The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, February 18th, 2018, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let us pray. Our Lord God, we have no idea where we are going. We do not see the road ahead of us. We cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do we really know ourselves. And the fact that we think that we are following your will does not mean that we are actually doing so. But we believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And we hope that we have desire in all that we are doing. We hope that we will never do anything apart from that desire. And we know that if we do this, you will lead us by the right road, though we may know nothing about it. Therefore, will we trust you always. Though we may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, we will not fear, for you are ever with us, and you will never leave us to face our perils alone. Father, we pray this in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Our scripture today is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're not sure of the occasion of the writing of this psalm by David. We know it is somewhere after the 23rd psalm, not because it's 25, but because of the context of it. But I want us to keep in mind some things about David writing this psalm. At the time this psalm is written, we believe that Israel is at the pinnacle of its power. Later, will we enter into the what we call the hardened temple period, where Solomon builds the stone and block masonry structure that would become the Temple of Jerusalem and things like that. But right now, David is powerful. Israel's powerful, feared of other nations. David, if you will, actually is the most powerful person in that part and region of the world. And it's this David who has good faults and bad faults, good things and bad things. It is this very leader of God's people who give us an example in these 10 verses. And by the way, there's something cool about these 10 verses. You can go 1 through 10 and follow the progression, or you can go 10 back through 1 and follow the progression that's going on in the movement of this psalm, which is kind of interesting. It don't happen often, but I'll throw it out there. In our world today, we come off of tragedy, it seems, after tragedy. It seems that what we have going on in the world today is an absence of humility. Now, I laid this rock up here, and I do want to, but did you know that this was actually, not this one, but one of these, was actually the first murder weapon? And Cain slew Abel with a rock. First one. But I've noticed something. This inanimate rock did nothing until I picked it up. You see, to blame an inanimate object misses the heart. That's kind of like, as I said in my little note, if you got a chance to, it's kind of like blaming a pencil for misspelling words or a spoon for making people fat. We miss it. But David gives us some pieces for times such as these in this 25th Psalm. You see, what's missing is common ground. What's missing is compassion. What's missing is love. What's missing is, if you will, people living out the tenets of their faith, agendas, and all of those things that are going on are missing the heart that David shows us. Let's look at it this morning. The first thing David says is, I lift my soul up to God. Notice that. Not his heart, not his thought, not his kingdom, not his fame, not his fortune, but his very soul, he lifts it up to God. The King of Israel. A snap of his fingers could end a life. But this King of Israel says, I lift up my soul to God. And oh my God. Notice what he says. Personal. My God. He's saying, my soul I lift up to my God. And the next sentence is, whom I trust. Just a thought. To whom do you trust your deepest, darkest secrets? Anybody? Who knows it all? Who do you trust enough to take away the persona, to lay down the fluff? David, the King of Israel, says, I lift my soul to God whom I trust. Folks, that's an act of humility if you haven't noticed. Instead of saying, oh God, bless what I'm about to do, that's not what David does. Do you see that? He lifts up his soul to God whom he trusts, and then he transitions. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exalt over me. Do not let those who wait for you to be put to shame. You see, there is something going on there, isn't there? You see, David trusts God. He's actually labeled a man after God's own heart. And not only that, the people know that David believes in God, that David worshiped God, and that God is important in David's life. So as David falls, so does God. Haven't you ever noticed that people judge God based on sometimes you? They judge Christ based on you. Mahatma Gandhi was a great and wonderful man, but he made a mistake. Yeah. He judged my Jesus based on the Christians and decided he'd have nothing to do with my Jesus based on the Christians. Mistake. I said it. Don't judge Jesus because sometimes we're failures. He's still on the throne. He's still Savior. He's still Redeemer. Right? David said, it'll look bad on you if I fall. But David isn't saying that to save his own skin. Let's follow him through. Make me to know your ways. Oh, the king of Israel just said to God, use me. Make me to know. Take me. Use me. Make me. Don't let me out of the box. Let me. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in truth. Today it seems that that's hidden and veiled from many. You see, David is going to talk a little bit more about truth. And one of the problems that our society faces today, and even within our own church, is sometimes truth is kind of tossed around a little. The truth is we're all sinners, right? The truth is, how many of us are perfect? How dare we expect perfection out of those around us? How many of us have all the answers? But all of us have answers. Right? But what do we expect from others? The very king of Israel is saying to God, lead me, I need you. Folks, there's never been a time in the life of a people when God isn't more needed than today. There needs to be coolness, direction, calmness, sanity, and truth. We can blame whatever we want to blame, but the reality is, blame never is the right game. We need to know the why, not the how. We need to know why, and the reason is why David's going to get it, and I'm going to come to it. The why is a heart that is intent on evil, not good. Church, have you noticed there's some evil in the world? Do you know what the evil wants to do? It wants to destroy us. It wants to destroy our relationship with each other, and especially our relationship with God, because that way it can cause God pain. Do you think God was sitting in heaven enjoying a school shooting and receiving these young lives? No. Do you think God needed these flowers in his garden? I pray my God don't have a garden like that. No, it broke his heart to see this violence of one against another, of people who have the capacity to love in greater depth. David goes on and he says, make known to me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me humility. How many of you have ever tried to teach somebody that knew everything? You can do this. It's okay. How successful was that? Come on. Do you know what really drives me crazy? The older I get, the worse this is. I could do a lot of different things. It's a blessing or a curse, I'm not sure. And it drives me crazy. Nicholas is back in the nursery. When he tries to tell me how to do something he's never done. Have any of you enjoy that? You know, it's like you're doing something. You're working hard and sweat, beads dripping, and somebody says, well, I think if you did, and they've never done it. It's just something about that that just makes a little bit of redneck want to come out in me and say, get your butt over here and give it a shot, buddy. Let's see how you do. Yeah. And sometimes I do that. Well, there you go. Have at it. I learned a long time ago, most people open the hood of a car and go, But it's amazing to me, you'll be working on a car and somebody will come up and say, well, I don't think that's what's wrong with it. Really? I used to run an auto repair business. And I had a sign up. Garage rates. You diagnose it, I fix it, $500. I diagnose it, I fix it, $100 starting rates. Somebody said, well, what you got that up there for? I said, because my car's going ding, 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 isn't a lot of information. Or it's making a sound. That's not a lot of information. It's just not. And somebody says, well, why don't you drive it? No, I'll ride with you. Why won't you drive it? Because I got news for you. Have you ever been to the dentist and your tooth stops hurting just before you get there? You put a mechanic in your car and he'll run like a champion, especially if they're driving it. You can't find the roof leak unless it's raining. Notice what David's saying here. I don't have the answers, God. I don't know the way. We've got so many people in our culture today that don't have the wisdom of God to lead them in the decisions they have to make. But they won't humble themselves to ask God to lead them. Isn't that sad? And we've got this happening in our own homes, in our own communities. Everybody thinks they know best. And even the King of Israel said, I don't. Teach me your ways, O God. Lead me in the paths of truth, even if it's uncomfortable. How many of you learned that truth is uncomfortable? And most of the time it's pretty darn inconvenient too, isn't it? But he says, now wait a minute, you got to get this next one, because I need this one, I need this one. I bet you will too, especially since I got you down here right now. Let me know your ways. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Can you imagine? The King of Israel needed a Savior, needed a Redeemer. And it says, for you, I wait. The King of Israel, the leader of the people, says, I wait for you. And David says, wait a minute, I need something, I need to put this in here. Because God, I've just asked God to make me. I've asked God to teach me. I've told him what wait a minute. And he says to God, be mindful, God, of your mercy. You know, remember, God, you know, you're going to deal with me here. Take it easy. You know, don't be too hard on me. Do you know what God isn't, is he? Sometimes we think he should be more hard. Sometimes we think we deserve a lot worse. Sometimes we think they deserve a lot worse. Sometimes we think God ought to just take them all out, you know, erase the pad and start over with me, you know, or something like that. But he says, be mindful of your mercy. Oh, Lord, please don't give me what I deserve. Please be merciful. I don't know about you, but I can join with David on that, can't you? I agree with David. And he says, listen, let me remind you why, O Lord, and of your steadfast love. Your love never ends. Remember, it's about love, God. You know, I made a mistake, and I do things wrong. You know that Bathsheba thing way back when? You know that Uriah the Hittite that I sent out, and he got killed and stuff? You know, I made some messes, but be mindful, steadfast in love, for you have been I have always loved you, God. You've always been with me. And how do we know he's thinking this? Do not remember the transgressions of my youth. I was dumb. Don't remember my sins. According to your steadfast love, remember me. How many people are really willing to humble themselves and to say they've made a mess? They've made mistakes. They don't have all the answers. How many are willing to let them do that? For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. In other words, he's fair. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. John 14 and 6. Every Christian should memorize this, and this should be our missional statement. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Church, be not be deceived. He is the only way. He is the truth, the way, and the life. There isn't another one. There isn't another one in another country. There isn't another one coming. He is it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way unto salvation. David says, lead me in the ways of truth. Lead me in the way. And the way for us is Jesus. Pastor, what does that have to do? You're over there in Psalm, that's the Old Testament. This is our book too. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. This is our book too. Jesus was the promise to Jesse, David's daddy. And Jesus would be that which fulfills the promise of the kingdom of David. There would be no end. So it's applicable to us. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble, not the proud, not the arrogant, not the self-centered and the self-serving. He leads the humble. How does he lead them? In his way. Notice if you're looking at your text that that's a small h in his. This means it's a personal relationship. You see, Jesus gives us that personal relationship back. He died for our sins. He reconciled us with God. He sanctified us through his blood that we would have this personal relationship with God. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Church, if we don't put God's agenda first, we'll make a mess out of things. If we don't put God's plan first, we'll make a mess out of things. Why? All the paths of the Lord are what? Steadfast love and faithfulness. Somebody once said, Pastor, what can we do about all the bad things in the world? It starts with a personal relationship with God and learning to love, learning to heal, learning to forgive. How many of you want to be accepted as you are? Anybody? If you do, if you want to be accepted as you are, how many of us are willing to accept others as they are in love? Do our actions prove it? Do our actions prove it? Or do we hold them to another standard? Do we have other expectations? The expectations are God's, not ours. God calls us to love as we've been loved. What does that look like? While I was yet in my sins, he died for me. We're not called to love the sin, but we're called to love the sinner. Differentiate between those. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love. That means you can depend on it. And faithfulness. God is always there. For those who are in a relationship, covenant, in a relationship with God. The three key things here are backwards in my sermon title. Seeking. And I did that on purpose so I could do this. We began by seeking God out in humility and humbleness. We seek him. We have to seek him. And notice the next word going backwards is what? repent. We seek God out in the first response before a holy God should be to repent. To repent. And the last one, stay humble. Stay humble. Can you imagine how difficult it was for David to stay humble? We have a saying that floats around, and I don't remember where it came from now. Ultimate power ultimately corrupts. Can you imagine how hard it was? David messed up. He had the power, and he brought Bathsheba over. He had the power, and he sent Uriah to the front. Can you imagine how hard it was for him to stay humble and to lift his soul to God? I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with it. Sometimes I get Jim in the way. Every time I do, God says, psst. Sometimes by the collar. Sometimes by the ear. How many of you ever had somebody grab you by the ear and pull you? Holy smokes. Ha, oh, don't do that. You know, don't do that. What do we take away? How do we live it out? Number one, we have to be humble. Number two, we have to be in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Number three, we have to accept God's love in us so that we can love others. We accept His forgiveness, and we have to be willing to extend that. We also have to take responsibility. Oh, Lord, did I say that word? For our own lives. Chuck Swindoll once said, life is made up of 10% of what happens to you and 90% of what you do about it. You have that choice. But seeking God, letting God lead you, letting God direct you, living in humility before God, knowing He is steadfast in love, merciful in His forgiveness, steadfast and faithful, this strengthens my journey. Sometimes I get away from it some, but He never gets away from me. Remember that today. In the world around us, the answer is a relationship with God that forgives, heals, and loves the hurts and the wounds, though not easy, that offers peace and a table to sit down at and have a real conversation about the real problems that we face. God is the answer. Christ is the hope. Church, we got to get the message out. We got to get the message out. One person at a time. Some of us are only seed planters. Others are to water. And God will do the harvest. Well, Pastor, I'm not reaching a great amount of numbers. If you reach one in your lifetime, it's worth it. Always remember that. And be grateful that someone, some way, somehow shared Christ with you and planted a seed. May we know God's grace and mercy. And may we share it in the world. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute, I want us to reflect on David's psalm. And I want to ask something special of you today. There is so much going on around all of these horrible things that have happened. You know, from Columbine, Aurora, Las Vegas, Florida. It's just, it seems that we go from one bad thing to another. Folks, I need to tell you this morning, my heart is heavy. I see the enemy at work. I see the enemy trying to destroy us. I'm not just talking about Americans, I'm talking about humanity. to turn us against each other in hatred and anger, rooted in pride and arrogance. I want to ask us as a church to pray for God's will to be done in all of this. And we know that God's will is good, not bad. As difficult as it may be, that we would hear God's love and grace proclaimed into the pain and hurt in our world today. Church, we need healing. And it starts with God. And it continues with God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to check this but me. Will you pray for that this week? If you will, slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, pray for me this week. I need some of that peace too. I get upset easy. If that you slip your hand up this morning. Amen. Pastor, just struggling with stuff. Need some extra prayers this week. Slip your hand up. Pastor, I want to pray for the people I'm in church with this morning. If you'll commit to pray for one another, slip your hand. You don't have to know the names. Just amen. Our gracious and loving God, as we come before you today, truly our hearts are heavy for many different reasons. Tragedy after tragedy, disaster after disaster, problem after problem. The posturing of war, the threats of annihilations and nuclear bombings and trade embargoes. Division over who's legal, who's illegal, who should, who shouldn't. It's dividing line, Lord, after dividing line. Father, we want to pray that the Holy Spirit work and that people would come to a saving knowledge of you through Jesus Christ. That be a way of humility and that you would hear our hearts and heal our land. And Father, we don't mean crops and we don't mean businesses. We mean people. Father, we need your peace. We need your direction. We need to be taught your way from the top down and from the bottom up. No one's any better than the other, and no one's any worse than the other. Father, we all have the great potential for good, but also the great potential for evil. Let us not be used by the adversary to cause and create pain and suffering. But let us live in truth, in humility before you, and love of one another. Hear our hearts and our prayers lifted to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not alone. There are people in the journey with you. People who share your struggles and joys and triumphs. Remember, you're not alone. Not only is God with you, but you're in the family of God. Part of the community of faith. You're not alone. May we know that we are not alone. For God is ever with us, and His promise to be with us always, even unto the end of the age, is certain and true. No matter what befalls you or the mistakes you make or the triumphs you have, God is with you to love you and to give you the strength to love yourself, to heal and forgive yourself and others. May you go to know that God in your heart. And may it be to that God you lift up your soul and find you trust. Now go in grace, peace, and mercy in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.